back in a new episode, and today my guest is very special. First of all, he's very dear to me. He's a very good friend, someone I really look up to in the entrepreneurial space, where he has founded multiple businesses, multiple companies from all sorts of industries. And today we're here to meet Carlo.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for inviting me. And I always feel home here in Dubai, thanks to you. But
it's such a pleasure to have you, seriously. And thank you for making the time to be on this podcast. As much as I am happy to get to know a person like you, I want to introduce you to all of the audience to see what you have done, what you are about to do, and to speak about all. But before we start, first of all, I would like you to tell us, how did it all started? When did you feel like maybe Bulgaria is not the right place for me to grow financially, and maybe I need to start looking for outside opportunities? Tell us everything about it.
Well, the beginning was kind of funny. You know, most of the people, it's going to be strange, because when I was a kid, Bulgaria was not, it was a communist country. So there was no business there, and my family didn't have any clue about business. So literally, I didn't have an idea what is invoice and what does that stand for, and generally any sort of a business idea. By that time, I started watching American movies.
Okay.
And the American, in the American movies, they have they're talking a lot about business, and I got passionate about this. I was a teenager, and I was already passionate about doing business, but I didn't have a clue about that. So then I started following the movies. Then they were saying some things, and I decided I'll try. My very first business was a coffee shop when I was like 15, 16 years old. A friend of mine told me, you know, Carlo, there is a coffee shop in the factory of my mom, and they're selling this factory, and the coffee shop needs to get away very, very quickly. And I said, no, I see a great opportunity. We buy this shop. He said, we're 15. How do we buy anything? We can't run this. And I said, no, we buy it. That's so amazing opportunity. So we go buy. Then I figured out that I can't buy anything because I can't sign anything, but they don't explain this in the American movies. Then I needed to run to my dad and like explain to him and try to convince my dad. He didn't give me a penny. Then I did go to the mom of this guy and I said, you know, we have the great idea. We're going to make business. What is this? And she said, are you nuts? And I needed to do my first business plan and show it to this lady and try to make her, because she just sold the family house. And I tried to make her, to convince her to give me the money and do this business. And guess what? She did it. She gave me the money.
It must be a very big proposal, yes. And proper one.
And then guess what? Of course, next, we started with the idea that we're going to operate. And the guys, they said, okay, where are we going to position this coffee shop now? Because it was removable, these structures that you can move. And I said, of course, in the movies, they say location, location, location is the most important thing. So I said, put it right in the city center of the city of Sofia, that's the capital city. Then I asked the truck driver. He came, he said, okay, but I need your permit. And I said, okay, what kind of permit do you mean? And he said, permit to go there. Where's your permit to put it there? This, they also didn't explain the American movies. I just thought that I can go there and put it out there. Of course, it didn't work. Then it stayed for a few months outdoors. And then a few months later, the summertime came, and I managed to sell it piece by piece online. And we made the money like 2-3 times. So this lady, she made her money, she made a profit, and that was my first profitable business. This is how everything started. With the time, I had some different ideas. And one of them was because we have started with several friends of mine, a telecom company. And because of these telecom companies, I learned more about the telecom business in general. Then I started dealing with cables, telecom cables, and also steering a roaming company. This made me talk to different mobile operators around the world. And this is how I started traveling. I remember first time when they gave me like a list of countries where I have to go and a list of telecom operators that I have to meet to sell our solution. And then out of top 100, imagine, I just told them, okay, I want to go to number 25, 64, and 93. They said, but boss, you got to go one by one there by priority. And I said, no, guys, I go where I want to go. You know, I've been always driven by my heart and my feeling, you know, about happiness, not so much about the money. I've never been driven by the money only. And this is what I'm doing, maybe what I'm doing now, because it's always have been about the passion of doing something, about learning about the world, about people. And this is what I've been always doing. And this led me actually with the time to start lots of different companies, maybe about 100 different companies in about 50, 60 different countries. But every time it has been because of curiosity. So with my family, we traveled about 140, 150 countries within for the last 20 years. This is more or less the whole world. And everywhere where we could do something, we just did it so that we can learn more about the place. Because you know how it is. When you go somewhere and you're a tourist, it's not the same as when you do some business there.
Absolutely.
When you start doing some business, then you know about the country. Otherwise, you're just a tourist.
Yeah.
So this is how everything has started about traveling. Then later with the time, I ended up at in Africa for the first time, in Congo, DRC, because of the cables. I needed to buy cheap copper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running my company from southern China by that time and manufacturing there cables. And then I needed to buy cheap copper, but cheap copper is like cheap gold. Mm-hmm. There is nothing cheap in the copper because actually it's a commodity trading business. Then I said to my people, try to make a research and find the country that is the poorest in the world with the biggest deposits of copper. This is how they came to Congo, DRC. I said, I'll go there. But they told me, no, boss, if you have to go there, better reconsider because you look at it, it's really, really dangerous.
It's a one-way ticket.
Yeah. There is a 50-50 chance you survive from the airport to the hotel. That was interesting. And, you know, I've been always after risks. I like the risks, maybe because of before, as a professional sportsman, I was playing in the national team of Bulgaria. We were some of the best in the world every year. And when I finished my career, I've been missing this, you know, this feeling of being, you know,
when achieving and winning.
Yeah. And this very moment when you are actually, for example, at a final competition of a football World Cup or something, and everything is in your foot, and you have to be kicking the ball and you don't know what's going to happen. And everybody's watching. You don't know, too. This is an adrenaline that you can't achieve easily. And I think this is what I've been chasing with the time. But of course, combined with analytical skills so that you can survive. Like all the good sportsmen, they are quite crazy, quite brave to follow their dreams, but also very analytical because you have to understand the game. You have to understand how it works. And this is what I did with Africa. First time then when I ended up in Africa, in Zaire, former Zaire, Congo, Kinshasa. Super dangerous place. But I did survive thanks to the preparation, a good preparation. So this is how I started first time in Africa. Then after that, these people have started doing this business with, they invited me to start in pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
And pharmaceuticals was again a new domain for me. But I like these challenges because you're in a new place, new domain, everything new. This actually takes you really out of the comfort zone and you start thinking not only, but you feel alive. You have like a lot of, you know, energy. So they said one day, Carlo, let's do this pharmaceuticals business. And I said, are you nuts, guys? We don't know anything about this business. I don't know anything about the country. I have no idea about this in general. They said, you know, there is a great opportunity, this and this. And I said several times, no. Then they challenged me. And these guys, they said, you know, Carlo, you're only claiming, you're pretending you have business in Africa. It's not easy here, but you're only pretending. And I said, what do you mean? You're a trader guy, buddy. You're just buying and selling. Having real business here is different. And I said, okay, give it a shot and see how it is. Then we put some money, not a lot. It was like less than $100,000 each. And then we decided to try. And it somehow magically worked, you know. Africa is special. It's giving a lot of opportunities.
So there was like a big lack of supply of medication, of the drugs, and you were the one who was like facilitating or bringing...
There was no cheaper. Big company by that time there operating, and each and every company was small. The biggest one was less than 2% market share, like very fragmented. At the same time, the country was at war, civil war, and they've been killing each other a lot. Like after the Second World War, this is the second biggest massacre in the world. They killed more than 5 million people.
Oh, wow. So definitely the import wasn't something easy to get the shipment to the country.
No, but this taught me a lot. So it's like that was a big school for me. to see how to survive in this kind of environment, and also a lot of passion.
Definitely, definitely.
And my latest adventure now, as you know, is Zanzibar, and I ended up there.
Before Zanzibar, let me stop you right here.
Sure.
There is a very huge business that you finalized with UAE, first of all, starting from the Abu Dhabi and coming all the way down to Dubai Tourism Department, which is it's not something light. You should be very proud to be doing such deal with the government. Tell us more about it.
Well, thank you for reminding me about this. This is another of another type of companies that I have in fintech. So I have always been in the tech companies in general, from the telecom in the beginning, then software development and fintech companies, etc., blockchain as well. I have my interest in this domain. So I have started a company with a few friends of mine. And this company is for travel. It's an application similar to Booking.com, etc., where you can be buying your tickets and just pay after your flight, conditionally only if it's okay. For this reason, the name is Pay for K. This is how it's famous in the UAE. So you can fly, then you land, and then you pay only if it's okay. This means if it is on time. If it's not on time, you're coming, let's say, to Zanzibar, for example. You pay $10,000 for flight ticket and hotel and your rent a car, etc. Imagine you buy from us, not from Booking. Then you delay. Instead of coming early in the morning, then you land late in the afternoon. Then you will receive a message, dear Anthony, thank you for flying with Calibra for free. We didn't charge you. We don't refund you because we didn't charge you. We are only having your credit card for pre-authorization so that we know that you have the money inside. Then go get your credit card. Your car, your rental car. It's already covered. Then go to the reception of the hotel. It's already covered. Everything is covered for you. And this is a really amazing service. Postpaid conditional payment. If there is even a slight delay of the flight, everything is coming for free. This service was liked very much by the UAE. So we got an invitation by Abu Dhabi to start there. Then we got an invitation by Dubai. We signed a contract with Dubai Tourism. We started the campaign. And now we are planning to continue with this. The only thing is that we're now raising more capital because it is very, very cash intense business. Just try to imagine that we're financing all these people, because if we don't charge you, and if we have, for example, 1,000 customers today,
someone is paying for it.
And we have to pay. So we do pay, but it's a cash intense business. So we're trying to finance it now properly so that we can go ahead, because people like it, and we just need to be able to facilitate it.
Let me recap this for the audience. So again, you buy your ticket, you buy your hotel stay, you buy your car rental, you buy whatever you want to do through Calibra application. You don't pay anything. Upon you checking in the hotel and finding that everything is suitable as you have booked it, then after 24 hours, your card will be charged and you will pay for it. Now, in the case of a plane is late, delay, or any unforeseen circumstances, this will be paid by Calibra, not by you guys.
It is actually paid by Calibra in all cases, but Calibra will charge you only if it's okay.
Okay,
it's just for free. And it's actually just for the people to understand, so that sometimes it sounds too good to be true. And we've seen this actually, like reaction. People say, no, that's not possible. It's coming at this very same price. Everything is covered and it could be for free. It's very basic. What we do is that we do financing, we finance you, and we do insurance. And the risk is in the risk of insurance and the cost of financing is in the range of about 2%. So we are actually just covering this 2% out of the marketing budget. We just do a better service and lower marketing. And this is the core for the core idea of the company, so that people can understand how do we cover this. Just try to imagine that we have 100 customers today that are going to be flying somewhere. And for one of them, this event
there's
will happen.
There's a storm. And
yes. For 99 of them, we're going to get about 15 to 20% of fee from the vendors. Mm-hmm. When we are selling a hotel, the hotel is going to pay booking.com 15, 20%. And they're going to pay us the same. For 99 of these people, we are going to get this $15 to $20 of 100. And for one of them, we have to cover the full stay. But this works, this financially works for the people and for the company.
Amazing. Beautiful idea. I'm sure it's going to do amazing. consider us as your first clients. We would love to sign up with you for anyone coming to Dubai to facilitate their stay. Zanzibar was what, during, before, after COVID, during COVID? When was it?
1 week before the COVID started, okay. I came back from the Maldives to Europe. Mm-hmm. I was in several cities. Then I came back to my country and I met some friends. And I heard on the TV, you know, talking about COVID, they're going to have these lockdowns, etc., closing everything. Then I looked at my wife and I said, hey, honey, we don't want to stay here. Not now. Not in Europe. Let's go somewhere, like tropical destination, if they lock it up so that we can at least be at some beautiful location. And then we decided to go to Zanzibar to just to see what it is.
Never been there.
We've been there once before okay. that. And he said Zanzibar. Then we invited a few friends of us, of ours, and they came to say hi, bye. So in the evening, before the flight, mm-hmm. and they came and one of them said, hey, Carlo, you know what? I always enjoy, buddy, I'm a little bit jealous that you all the time go to these beautiful locations and places and just like this, and we're going to be struggling here and you guys go there. I looked at him and I said, hey, buddy, just come with us. Why would you be jealous? Just come with us. You know, I'm very busy, but he works with me. I know how busy you are.
Yeah.
Then he decided, he said yes with his girl. They're coming in the morning for like a week.
Okay.
Then I looked at the other guy. He's coming. The third guy coming. 10 people in the room, they said all of them were coming the next day for a week. 3 days after we landed in Zanzibar, they stopped the flights.
Okay.
All the flights around the world. The first people came back home about 6 months later. So they have families, businesses, etc. In the beginning, a little bit of drama, but then we realized that we were in the paradise.
Absolutely.
Actually, it was the best place to be during Corona.
White sand, crystal, yeah. Crystal beach, like nature.
I've never been wearing a mask. Never. That's people good. Can't imagine this because they say, no way, in Corona, really? So this is how we ended up in Zanzibar. Then a few months later, we worked like a few months for a few months. And then a few months later, we found a place and we decided we're going to build something as a resort for friends. Not really special, something just, you know, just to do something. Then we started building. But we started building with love. We didn't build it for money. We mm-hmm. just built it for fun, with love. And then guess what? We've been planning to sell this resort at about $150 per night. This was according to the business plan. And then we started. So we built it very quickly, like 9 months or something, up to final, like finally everything finished. And then we started about 150. Less than a year later, we ended up at prices, average price, almost $1,000 per night, like wow. 800, 900. And I say this just because for me, this is appreciation. You know how you're raising the price. The marketing team is raising the price when you're overbooked. But when you have such overbooking, then you go to $800-$900, you feel the appreciation.
That's 7x, like that's nuts.
Yes. And the return on investments there is so great. And we felt so well that we decided to make a second one. And then I bought a place that is much bigger on the same beach. It's called Kinazi. The first one is the Nest Boutique Resort. Many people
I don't think it needs an introduction. The Nest doesn't need any introduction. Yeah, like everyone knows the Nest. Yeah.
I'm very happy.
If you haven't been, it's on Pudgy Beach next to the kite surfing school,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and you know, the first one, the Nest, we built it around my wife. She's all about arts and sport. Number one, arts, because she's graduated in Florence Art Academy and sports. And then I decided,
I saw her. She's shredded. She's like, yes. She works out 24/7.
Yes, she does. Yeah. But for me, the passion is sports and arts, the other way around. So the second resort is all about sports.
Yeah.
So we do already have the biggest gym there and calisthenics parks and water sports center. And we have horses, beautiful Frisian horses, which are the most beautiful there. And a lot of other things, which is all about active lifestyle. And with these two resorts, people that are coming, they started asking, can I buy this villa or that villa? Why not? This villa is doing $1,000 per night for one room, 360 days a year. Not bad. Of course, we're not selling these villas. They are part of the resort. But we decided we're going to build a village.
Okay.
And this is my new passion now, the village. Because the village is going to be all about sports and active lifestyle, healthy living, healthy eating. We're building a farm now behind.
In the same area.
Where it's in between the resorts. Okay. It's connecting the resorts.
Yeah. It's on Paje Beach.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, the village is connecting the resorts, and we are currently planning the village, but the way we decided to plan the village is together with the customers. Because what we do is that currently we have opened the sales like a week ago, mm-hmm. and now people can go on the web. It's called ankaya.villas. Ankaya.villas. We can put it on the screen.
All of these details will be put it in a banner and in the description where people can click on it and see it, of course.
Right, good. And then you pick, imagine you're the client. You have to pick first the location, mm-hmm. your spot, like your land, closer to the beach or more further away. And once you have this, you pay 50% of your land. Imagine the land is $100,000. Then you pay 50. Then you're going to have 6 months to design your house with my architects. I'm going to give you the architects.
No, with your architects. Okay.
Yes, I give you my architects. And they give you some different type of houses. And you see, say, for example, like number 5, they're all tropical.
Which is your style.
Yes, but okay. I like 2 more bedrooms and this and this. And then they start designing
more light,
for you.
Less windows and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love this style because this allows people to build their houses with their hearts. Because it very, very often what I see is the family's buying, usually the wife, but sometimes the husband. But usually the wife, she's asking.
Husband pays, the wife buys.
Yeah. And she's designing. She's usually coming with her ideas.
Yeah.
And we want to have this because people are putting their mind and soul and heart in this. And then we end up with a lot of villas, which are all different. And then when you ask what is the return on your villa and why your villa is getting bigger occupancy than your neighbor, it's very much because of what you did, because they're not the same. They're all different. And this is how it is going to be working, because most of the people are not living there. So they are renting them while they're not there. And this is currently considered one of the most profitable destinations in the world. Top 5 in the world in terms of return on investment. So people are buying because of the lifestyle, like, you know, all about sports, beautiful location, etc. My daughter is going to school riding on a horse, freezing a horse on the beach, barefoot,
gosh,
with a monkey on her shoulder. And she's going to a British international school. So life like this is interesting for many people. Sports and for the kids, always outside, etc. But also, the return on investment is the other part of why people are buying. And in Zanzibar, it's very high because of the very long season and lack of enough supply. The demand is growing faster, and this is the reason why we're selling at such high prices, because it is, I would say, it is a little bit overpriced. I mean, the whole of Zanzibar is a little bit over. So I see that there is a gap, maybe in time, 5 years or 10, when this is going to be still there. Because after that, it's going to go like Seychelles, Maldives, Mauritius, etc. The return on investment is not that.
I hope not, because those places used to be heavens, and then all of these contractors and developers and came changed everything. So it doesn't feel like how Zanzibar feels.
Mm-hmm.
Zanzibar is still a raw place, a virgin place, where it hasn't really been touched. So you can still feel the natural beauty that God has given us. So
exactly.
Yeah. Keep building it, but just make sure to always keep that signature of it, that type. So tell us more about the village. First of all, is it freehold? Anyone can purchase a property and obtain it for life, or it's leasehold? They are renting it from you and giving it back in 99 years. How does it work?
It's a land lease with the government, because in Zanzibar, nobody can buy freehold, because there is no freehold in Zanzibar, even for the locals. So it's a land lease for 99 years. Mm-hmm. It's based on a sublease with our company. Why? Because the government made it like this so that they can actually make it more beneficial for the small investors. Because currently the law is like this. If you go and you want to buy a house just in some village, you can't because you're a foreigner. It's not allowed. So the only way is set up your own company, and then with the company you have to buy. But in this company, local, you got to have local shareholder. That is going to be 51%+. And this, of course, most of the people don't like. And for the class A investors, the way we are, we can own anything. So it's, we don't need local shareholders or anything. And for example, if you buy with us, then you are going to get all of the benefits and privileges that we do have as class A investor, because they consider everybody who is a buyer in the condominium, because this is kind of a condominium. This
can we count the benefits if you don't mind? So first of all, they are buying it from you, which they are guaranteeing the lease for up to 99 years.
Yeah,
and maybe extendable. God give us all long life. Maybe
yes, this will it's be extendable. Yeah.
Number two, you are providing your architects for the people. This is free of charge or chargeable?
This is free of charge in a period of time.
Currently. In a specific period of time. Later on, it will be paid. Okay. Number three, the most benefit of investing over there, if I'm not wrong, it's the returns.
Yes.
Okay. So how much you're giving these people returns?
Well, in Zanzibar, it's in the range of about 10 to 20 something percent.
Okay.
It depends on the particular development.
There is big gap between 10 to 20. What I want to know from you, I'm not looking to get a specific percentage, but I just want to know that how does it work? Does it work like us? Like, for example, for us, if I make the client 10,000 or I make him 100,000 per month, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get my 20% management fees. So when it comes to you guys, how does it work? So you're going to rent it for him throughout all of the year, like the holiday homes. You're going to provide them 2 weeks complimentary where they can use it or their friends for free of charge per year.
Let me try to elaborate on this a little bit.
Yeah.
First of all, we don't put any limits. Imagine you're the client.
Okay.
Then you build your dream house. It could be small or big, cheap or expensive, whatever you build. We don't put any limitations on you. There are different houses. The cheapest, they start something in the range of about $50,000.
This is a flat, not a villa.
It's
condo, flat.
Yes, it's a just one room.
Yeah, okay.
But it's separate.
Suite.
It's like, yes, it's not a suite because it's not in a building. It's separate, but it's just one room. And this cheapest one, they start, let's say, $40,000, and the mid-size type are $200,000 to $400,000, and then there are villas in the millions. So everything from $50,000 to millions.
Okay.
And we don't put any limitation about how you're going to be using it. So you can use it the whole year if you like. And then you just pay a maintenance fee. And for example, 20, 30% of the people interested are living on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And they are expats there, etc. So they are going to be living there. Just like condo closed, like community gated. And then if you're coming from time to time only, you're signing a management agreement. And the management agreement, according to the management agreement, we charge you 10% for management. And costs separately. For example, booking.com is going to take 20% and marketing and taxes, etc. The return on investment depends very much on the investment. Because if you build a very tiny house, you're a surfer, for example, and you just want to have a small place on the beach, etc., enjoy the lifestyle there, etc., and you just invest 50, 60,000 up to 100, or maybe a family with an investment in the range of about 500,000, 200, 300, 400, or maybe more. This depends, ROI depends very much on this. The smaller the investment, the higher the ROI. So the small investments, the small villas are generating more. The mid-size less, and the most expensive ones are the least.
So you're saying like getting 8 units of this one-bedroom room for 400,000 will make way more than getting one villa for 400,000.
Yes. According to our calculations, the range is about 14-15 to about 20-22%, depending on the size of the investment. And because, for example, if you want to invest $1 million and you have the option to make one villa for $1 million or 10 villas 100K each, the 10 villas 100K each are going to generate 20-22%, the $1 million villa is going to make 15. Significantly less on the same money.
So we are on the one of the most beautiful islands in the world. We have this village or community, because I feel it's a more of a community since lots of people live there and know each other.
Yeah.
You're offering the housing that can be, as you said, from one room all the way to 5-6 bedrooms, villa or a mansion. Now tell us what will be inside of it, from greenery, from amenities, from activities, like what can people do?
Well, the village is located in between our resorts, and we're building a lot of different activities and amenities around there. So first of all, on the very beachfront, we have a location which is for common area for swimming pool and big swimming pools and restaurant and tiki bars and jungle gym and all these things. And then we have a located area for a co-working space because many okay. people will be working out there. And then we have already a gym that is already the biggest, not only in Zanzibar, but all of Tanzania, with a very interesting story coming from Miami. You know, in LA, they have this Muscle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And in Miami, they have Muscle Beach already. And then I was there like, do you know Muscle Beach?
I've seen this on YouTube a lot.
Yes.
Haven't been, but I've seen.
Yes, it's been started maybe in the 70s or 80s, long time ago. And people just, you know, pumping muscles on the beach. And then when I was in Miami, I talked to some of the guys which are holding one of the gyms behind. And I said, you know, can you just pack it for me? And they said, what do you mean, sir? Do you want to have a subscription or something? And I said, no, just pack it, send it to Africa. Now we have Muscle Beach in Zanzibar. So we're the third one, mm-hmm. and it's called Muscle Beach.
You've seen the one here? I think we have one here in Umm El Quwain,
yeah.
on a kite beach over there. Like it all looks like the Flintstones,
yes.
the rocks and the yeah. wood, and the, yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah, we have the same, but yeah. we also have a proper one,
okay.
Which is with professional equipment
everything. Yeah, yeah.
So we are doing some camps for athletes from around the world, coming to get fit, etc., with all the food and all like the active lifestyle. So it's very much about this, you know, amenities and activities which are about you getting fit. And also we're building this farm, as I told you, that is based on permaculture. So maybe people, they know what is permaculture. This is the best way to get all the active ingredients and nutrients out of the plants. So we're doing a big farm like this. And then, of course, restaurants and this kind of stuff, you know, the traditional stuff. Then we have all the water sports. We have a water sports center. We are right in the core of the kite beach in Zanzibar. And we have all
jet
these activities.
Kites,
yes, all of these. Yacht yeah. boats, everything,
yeah,
all of these things. So it's very much about this, up to a level when I wake up in the morning, because, you know, the day there is 12 hours from 6 to 6. I wake up at 6. And I don't know what is that I'm not going to be able to do today because there's so many things to do. The first 6 hours of the day, I commit to myself usually. Like I walk the beach for 1 hour, then I go to the gym, then I go to ride with the horses, then we go in the water with the horses, riding and washing them there. And then we go kite surfing before noon or in the afternoon, depending on the wind. And sometimes people ask me, Carlo, if you're doing so much because 4 to 6 hours of movement and training, then how do you work at all? Do you work at all? And the reality is we have a lot of time. If we focus on doing the proper way, we do have a lot of time.
Absolutely.
Because out of the 24 hours, I'm sleeping 8. So I have another 16. And then I have another 6, which I'm stealing for myself. And I still have another 10 for work, right? Because there is actually plenty of time if you focus well. So this lifestyle, we're just willing to share with other people. And that's why we're building this village, which starts, as I already mentioned, from $50,000 over. But by the way, we have a system, we have a product that is designed to address the needs of people that are interested to participate, having something, being special, feeling special when they go there, but they don't have this much money.
Yeah, this was my next question for you. Like, let's say, like in here, we have a system where three people can put the money together and can obtain a property, which is by law. Now, I want to ask you, let's say if someone has all of their savings, I don't know, $25,000, can two people come buy one property as a joint, or you do some kind of, tell me.
If two people, friends, for example, they want to buy one property, that's not a problem at all.
Okay.
They would just do it in a regular way.
Uh-huh.
But imagine, for example, people that are willing to invest smaller amounts, like, for example, $1,000 or $500. We start from 100.
Really?
So the idea
of fractional.
Yes,
okay.
It's called fractional sale.
Yeah.
You have it in Dubai, by the way.
We have a lot in
yes.
here, and it's popular all over the world.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a few companies here.
We do similar. Most of the people, they know what it is. So you can just buy a fraction of a company owning a particular property. In our case, it's a fraction of a Swiss company owning lots of properties because we are putting lots of the houses inside this Swiss company. But what is very interesting is that these Swiss companies are regulated since several months and they allow tokenization, which is very interesting. Because according to the law of Switzerland, you can tokenize these companies based on ERC-20 or another platform. And some of them are already regulated. It's how exactly you do this. But then you can go listed directly on a Swiss exchange. And this allows you immediate liquidity. Because okay. if you buy into a regular property, like in Dubai, you can only sell inside the platform to the people which are inside. But in this case, you can be selling to literally everyone. And you can invest from $100 over. And we did very good perks for these people. If you do invest now, for example, because it's already opened, right, for the people, they can see it. It's on Ankaya Villas Fractional. Fractional, there is a button there. Then you can buy from $100 over. And then what you get is 10% fixed return on investment for the first 2 years during okay. the development period.
That's good.
Yes, fixed during the development period. And then after, we expect more. We don't guarantee, but because we don't know exactly what is going to happen because it depends on the properties and everything, but it will be more than 10. So the 10 is guaranteed for the first 2 years.
And how are the dividends being paid? You pay it quarterly, monthly, every 6 months, every year?
Yeah, the dividends payment, they're different systems in Switzerland because it's regulated there. Mm-hmm. But the way it's done is like this, you know, capitalizing the company. Imagine, for example, the company is having $100 and assets for $100. And then the company is generating $10 as profit. So they don't pay these $10. They're capitalizing the company with $10. And then they release another 10 shares over okay. this 100 with mm-hmm. 10 tokens. Mm-hmm. So then you, for example, you're the owner of 10% of the company and you have 10 shares and 10 tokens, you will receive another one share or one token for free. This is not going to inflate the company, the price, because it is coming with capital behind. So we increase the capital of the company with the profit. And then you can immediately sell it because you can just go to the exchange and you just put it in the exchange and you can sell this 10%. And this is how you can liquidate it. Of course, you can pay a dividend. If you claim the dividend, you can pay it as a dividend as well. This is just the decision inside the company. This is when it is about dividends. And in the beginning, this 10% that we're speaking about is like a bond. It is actually a bond with 10% interest rate that we just pay as an interest rate in the beginning, I mean. And after that, it's based on the profitability of the company.
That's really nice. That's like very smart. I like this a lot. And I would love to know about it. Me personally, on a personal side, I would love to know more about it. And I'm sure our guests now, you got them curious to know. So, Carlo, thanks a lot for coming on the show. It has been amazing. We're not going to speak more about it. We're going to now show them. So we're going to take all of the credentials from you, the website, the brochure, everything. Put them down in the link in the description. Yeah. Guys, feel free to have a look. You can check out, first of all, if you don't know about Zanzibar, you can check it out. You can see the projects being launched. Carlo has been there from 2021. As he said earlier, he has 2 resorts. And now he's building the 3rd one, which is going to be up for sale. So if you are interested to find out more, just click on the description. You will find all of information needed. Thanks a lot for watching this episode and see you in the next one.